Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus said to go into all the world and make disciples, but some of the world doesn't want Jesus' disciples to come. What do we do? Do we give up, or do we become creative to do something to still obey the Great Commission? Well, in the next 20 minutes, you're going to hear from someone who is taking steps to engage the Great Commission in a creative way. So stay tuned to Ministry Beat. In the next 20 minutes, you will learn something you didn't know before.
This is the ACAC Radio Network, and welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings at Allegheny Center Alliance Church, a vibrant urban congregation located in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This program will focus on the latest emphasis at ACAC known as Expanded Influence, especially the three C's of communication, campus expansion, and church planting. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in Internet Radio Land. This is John Stanker, your host, and part of Expanded Influence is our middle name, Christian and Missionary Alliance, which is missions. Billy Graham once referred to the CMA as one of the best missions organizations in the world. And we want to talk to somebody today. We're not going to use this person's name because of the delicate, sensitive nature to where she is going. We're just going to refer to her as Miss M. I'm going to bring her on and let her talk to us. Miss M, thanks for joining us on Ministry Beat.
Oh, thanks for having me, John.
Yes. Now, what can you tell us? What's going to be happening in your life in the coming weeks or months?
Yeah, so mid-January, I am departing to go overseas. So it's been a fast process. That's kind of coming faster than I anticipated, but it's good. I will be leaving to go to Central Asia, a part of the world that if you would have asked me even a year ago where God may be leading me, I would have never said that part of the world at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so give us a little background into the call, as much as you can, of how this came about and how it became clear that this is something that God wanted you to do.
Yeah, so it started years ago, obviously, whenever I went on the trip with you, John, to Kenya, where God really started to confirm that I was to serve him long term. And I didn't know what that looked like, so it took several years. It took me leaving my corporate job and then ended up working at a church, which, once again, that's only in God's plan, because I would have never thought I would have worked at a church. Where I then started to explore really where God was calling me. And for the longest time, I really felt God was calling me to the Middle East. And so that actually came together last summer. I spent some time there and came back on fire and was really ready to serve and was just searching God to figure out, okay, God, where are you calling me to? I'm ready. Let's do this. And every opportunity that kind of came up, that I put a long-term with, God just wasn't giving me an answer. He wasn't speaking. He was silent. And so I kind of got a little bit frustrated and talked to some really good mentors, really spoke into my life. And one gave me the best key piece of information that really helped me through the process and said I needed to just grieve anything I felt God was calling me to as a loss and grieve it with God and just walk through it with an empty hand. And so that's what I did. I surrendered every hope or dream that I felt God was calling me to and just said, I'm here, I'm free, I'm open. And, you know, if it's to stay, I'll stay. If it's to go, I'll go. I just need to know where. So shortly after going through that, God started to reveal to me via an internet posting for a position in Central Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept looking at it, and every qualification, every point to the field, I was like, oh, this seems perfect. But I saw that it said Central Asia, and I was like, this isn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
Until finally I gave in, and I started to pursue it, and God made it abundantly clear that I made my world too small, and his world is so much larger. Yeah, so that's what led me here.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it was too long after you surrendered everything that you got the answer. Is that a correct assessment?
Oh, yeah. And I just, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. I would think, you know, had I done that months before? But, you know, it takes really breaking down to that level.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I always teach that God's not trying to trick us. He wants us to know. Very often he's on, he's broadcasting on FM and I'm tuning into AM stations. I have to get on his frequency. And his frequency is the trust network. You have to trust him. You have to surrender, sign the contract, and trust that when he fills in the blanks, it's really going to be good. And it sounds like you're very excited. What's going to go into the next couple of months? Just even practically speaking, what do you have to do to get ready to go on the missions field?
A lot. I will. We used to go to a training facility for a month, where I'll kind of get some cross-cultural training, and that'll be good. That'll be a month. But then I come back right before Thanksgiving, and there's Thanksgiving and Christmas, so all that thrown into it. But I have to pack up my life, sell my car, downsize all my stuff, and really prepare, pack up bags and suitcases. So all that, but the bigger pieces is it is going to be tough, especially saying goodbye. So I'm just strategically placing, you know, a lot of times with friends and family in the interim, set aside to really spend with them, because that's going to be, obviously, that's always the toughest part, is leaving your loved ones behind here, and their life goes on as yours does on the other side of the world.
Yeah. What can you tell us, if anything, about what you'll be doing, or in general terms, how will you fill your days? Will you be learning language? Will you, you know, what are some of the things you'll be doing?
Yeah, so for the first 2 years, I will be completely embraced in language study. So it's a bit of a harder language, which I'm not quite that excited for, but I think it'll be a really great learning experience. So I'm really, I'm excited for that, but it's a little bit unnerving. And then after that, and also during, I'll be a part of it, just not fully. I'm going to help. They have a business there. So I'm going to help them kind of do the books, and they're actually in the process of moving and reorganizing. So I'm going to come alongside the team that's already established there and help where I can, kind of help them restructure, rebuild. And
So what's missions about this? I mean, you obviously we're going to a sensitive area of the world. We can't discuss it here. What hopes do we have that the mission won't just be business or language, but that it will actually be ministry? What are your hopes? What are your aspirations?
So here's what's really cool. So I actually got an opportunity a few weeks ago to actually see the field and be there. And what's really cool is, you know, it's all their employees are believers. But not only are they believers, they're believers in an area where you can't just walk out and start to talk to somebody about your faith, but these, they really come alongside. And so the employees, they don't have any type of discipleship. You know, all they know is Jesus, and, you know, they get pieces of scripture here and there, and, you know, some lessons here and there. So it's really coming alongside these people to be able to really breathe life into them so that they then can go out and share more openly. And then it also allows us as to be able to interact more freely on our own in our own building. The customers that we have that come in, we then can have more openness versus just being on the street or anything like that to really be able to build relationships. And because it's a completely relational aspect and a completely relational business, to really dig into people's lives so that those faith conversations can come up and grow and so that we can share Christ with them and not be afraid.
Now, I had talked to you earlier, and just tell our listeners a little bit. You mentioned earlier, you know, just surrendering to the Lord, and now you look back and you see how things worked out. Look back even farther. How can you see God was preparing you for the opportunity that is before you now?
A lot. It all kind of comes from, I have a business background. And one of the things that I loved is I loved coaching and training and really mentoring people in that aspect and in just see people work to the next level and really build something in themselves and come alongside them and motivate them. So that aspect that I used to do now has taken it to a discipleship level. And not only that, has taken the practical skills I've learned in management and running a business and puts it in a practical level. So that's really where I see God's hand in serving you. Where does this come in? And now it really, the full picture is shown of what he prepared me for before I even thought I was going to serve him in this capacity.
Yeah, so you have the experience, then we add to it to the call, then you add the surrender of God, I'll go wherever you want me to go, and voila, the opportunity appears.
Yes, exactly. And it's all it took. I wish I would have done it sooner.
Yeah. Well, God's timing is perfect, so you're right where you need. What can we be praying for you about? What are your concerns practically over the next couple of months and practically in January when you take on this new assignment?
Over the next couple of months, it's really just to not feel like I'm rushing to get stuff done and to close chapters, but that I can just relax in the fact that I have time. I still have time here to be able to say goodbyes and get, you know, wrap everything up. Not that I'm rushing through, just to, you know, close one thing and move on to the next. So that's the one to kind of slow down some pace and rest a little. But whenever I get onto the field, I really would like God to show me and really pray for me to really see the lostness. It's there, and it is very dark, but to really see where he's thriving and where he's leading is a bigger piece. And for me not to be caught up in my own cross-cultural awareness and to really embrace the culture and to just allow the minor frustrations of living in a different culture to really just subside and to know that he's bigger than it.
Yeah. I've had a chance to meet some of your family, and I know they're believers. What do you think is going through their mind, or what have they told you? Are they concerned? Do they have hesitations? Are they excited? All of the above? More? What tell us a little bit from their perspective what it's like for them to release their loved one to the call of God.
Well, you know, it's a bit of all of the above. There's always that notion of, well, you know, I hoped God would speak to you in a different way, and, you know, you'd say, we love you. But they've walked beside me in this process, which is the cool thing, and I think that's where they can really rest comfortably in is everybody in my family, my mother, my grandmother, my sister, have walked through me through this process and have seen God move me in this direction. Mm-hmm. So they can definitely rest in that I'm not just jumping into something unknown. But they are so encouraging. Even, you know, we just talk about what, you know, Christmas is going to look different even whenever I am home versus, you know, it's going to be via Skype and, you know, the internet, how we work those things out. But, you know, it also allows us to prepare and to really embrace and get ready for the times when we will see each other so that we can all set time aside over the next few years. So there's the balance. There's the all of the above. They're obviously always a little bit nervous when you're not living what they call comfortably here in the U.S. They definitely, the one thing is being that they are believers, that they rest in the fact that, you know, God has me. So.
Somebody listening, and we've already alluded to the surrender and, you know, almost the immediacy of God's response to you. What advice do you have somebody who's seeking the Lord or who may be considering or sensing that God's purpose for them, God's call for them is beyond the borders of the of their homeland? What do you say? What advice do you give them?
Trust. Step out in faith, even though it may seem completely off the wall and bonkers to your ordinary American. I did that, and I haven't looked back. So that's first and foremost, trust. Second, find at least somebody who can walk alongside you in the process. I'll tell you this, God has abundantly blessed me with phenomenal people, yourself included, John, who have really through this process have allowed me to test kind of what I felt God was calling me to and really come alongside me in the process.
Yeah, so trust and don't try and process the information alone. Get some people that you also trust that have had a similar experience and bounce it off them and get their feedback and their input.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Well, Miss M, I'm not going to keep you long, but I do want to pray for you. I want to encourage our listeners to pray for you. They don't need to know your exact identity. God knows, but right now let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for Miss M and her commitment to you and to your church and to your people, and you heard her request. You know the needs and the desires of her heart. We pray that she will take it one day at a time over the next 3 months, that she will have confidence that everything she needs to do, she will be able to do, and if she doesn't do it, then she didn't need to do it. So give her not a leisurely pace, Lord, but a pace that will enable her to stop and smell the flowers, so to speak, and enjoy the process and savor the moments that are really quite special leading up to this transition that you have led her to. Father, open her eyes when she gets there. Give her instant relationships. Give her an empathy and a heart and a depth to understand where the people are and are not. Give her wisdom for the team that she will be joining. And Lord, help her with her language skills. Help her that she will be up to speed, and people will comment, "Wow, you're making great progress," so that she will know that she is moving forward in that area of her ministry. And Lord, let her draw on business acumen she didn't even know she had. Give her wisdom and team building and marketing, and as she does, Lord, give her wisdom and insight and discernment for the people that she will be working with. And we look forward, Lord, to future updates where Miss M will come back and give us the stories of how you answered these prayers and many other prayers, but ultimately you responded to her faith, her trust, as she stepped out to do what it is she believes that you want her to do. So be with her. We hate to see her go, not as much as her family, but we're certainly going to miss her, but we know that you will go with her, Lord. And when she gets there, she's not taking you there. You're already going to be there for her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Miss M, thank you again. I will see you around, I'm sure, and have a chance to say proper goodbyes. But again, thanks for joining us on Ministry Beat, and we'll stay in touch.
All right. Thanks, Dr. John.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have firsthand story of someone who is getting ready to go. And it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to preach about it. It's another thing to hear about it. But it's the rubber meets the road when people go. And there is a woman who is off to serve the Lord. And as I said, we will do our best to keep you posted on what's going on in her world and her life. This is John Stanker, your host for Ministry Beat. Tomorrow's show, we're going to have Marv Nelson on, update from Aletheia campus ministry, and also about an exciting new project that he is finding himself involved in. I know he'll talk about that. Day after that, we have Tim Daigle, the new appointment to oversight for worship and youth at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. In the meantime, this is John Stanker, your host, signing off. Hope you enjoyed this 20 minutes. We'll be back with another 20 minutes tomorrow on Ministry Beat. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to this edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again soon on the ACAC Internet Radio for more insight into and information about the Expanded Influence Initiative at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.acacreach.com. If you have any questions concerning Expanded Influence or with ideas for future shows, you can write John at john.stanko@acac.net. John.stanko. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.